Thank you, Gary and choir. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. You know, Christmas took place on Thursday. It's amazing that China moves every year, but it took place on Thursday. And a lot of people just assume that that's it, that's done, Christmas is gone. But in reality, many people hum at Christmas. In reality, many of the things we know of Christmas come after the birth of Christ. In fact, the good news of Jesus coming is only the start of Jesus fulfilling why he came. And so there are other things that take place, and we read today in Matthew, the second chapter, beginning in the first verse, things that happened after Jesus was born. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take your word. Lord, move it into our brains, and Father, help us to be wise. Father, to be wise in your desires, to come close to Jesus and to worship you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we have some time has passed. The birth of Jesus has taken place. This is not the next day. I know some of you sent Christmas cards that had Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds and the wise men all in one shot. They weren't there. The wise men came later. In fact, they didn't come the next day. They didn't come the next week. They didn't come the next month. This is maybe 18 months or so later. And if you follow the passage, you find out that Mary and Jesus and Joseph are no longer living in the manger. Joseph, being a wise man himself, knew that he had to provide something better than a manger for his young family. And so now they've moved into a house. Time has passed. The child is grown. Luke tells us, born in a manger. Joseph now has moved them into a house. When a child is born today, we get all the details, male, female, how long they are. All those pertinent informations that everybody wants to know, so I'm told. And we share those things. Matthew doesn't tell us anything. He is wrapped up in one concept, the word fulfilled. He sees the Messiah coming, fulfilling all the prophecies, fulfilling every requirement necessary to be the true Messiah, to be God who has come to earth. 1:22 says, these things were done that it might be fulfilled. In 2:15, again, that it might be fulfilled. It's a key word. Matthew is revealing how all of these things can be fulfilled in one child. He's not just a child. He is the Messiah. The Messiah prophesied, the Messiah told to them for hundreds and hundreds of years prior. And now he has come. Matthew wants us to know Jesus came fulfilling every single prophecy that was to have taken place. He was largely ignored. Oh, shepherds came. Yeah, that was probably the only Jews that came. Wise men came. And the wise men were actually not Jews. They were Gentiles. You see, Jesus was not just a Messiah for the Jews. Jesus came for all people. Don't get caught up in the concept that Jesus only came for a chosen few. Jesus came for all. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's all the world of all time, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Jesus came for all, and it is shown in the Christmas story, and that shepherds came from the Jews, wise men came from the East, Gentiles. They're said to be wise. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, he that follows wise men shall be wise. Let me give you a little hint for how you can look smarter. If you want to appear to be smarter, hang around smart people. Oh, that's not all. Keep your mouth shut. Nod every now and then, and you're good. The moment you open your mouth, you may reveal things you don't want to reveal. But here these wise men are, and we're going to learn some things from them. Wise men want the truth. They are driven by a star. In 2 verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is a familiar place. Ruth and Boaz fell in love in Bethlehem. David the king was born in Bethlehem. Columbus, Georgia is the city of fountains. Drive around a little bit, you'll see one. Bethlehem is called the city of David. The name Bethlehem tells us a little bit of God's sense of humor. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. What was Jesus called? The bread of life. So the bread of life was born in the house of bread. God is not quite as stiff as you thought he was. We don't know a lot about the wise men. They came from the east, that is, east of Jerusalem, east of Israel. We don't know how many there were. I know your pictures and your postcards show three guys. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. There was more than one. We don't know how many more. Could have been two, could have been 20. We don't know. And I know that messes up the song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. But that's the truth. The song would have been a mess had they said, We Kings of Undetermined Number Are, you know. And so we don't know their names. Yes, I know they've been given names, but we don't know their names. You got to learn to read out of the Bible and not read into the Bible. And so they were wise men. Now, there have been some that have said they know where the wise men were. There was a bishop that said that he found the skulls in about 1300 or so, found the skulls of the three wise men. He was just digging in the ground, found three skulls, and said, hey, that's the wise men. And they said, how do you know that there were the wise men? Well, he knew there were the wise men because the three of the skulls still had their eyes intact, and they were all looking east. And so you could actually go to a cathedral and see a fancy casket that has the three skulls in it. Were they the wise men? I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but they are there. Why were they wise? Well, I think they were wise because they're seeking Jesus, and they want to worship him. They're called the Magi. That's actually the word in the Greek, and so it comes into our world. They were professional astrologers. They were scientists of their day. They were learned men. They were philosophers. They were king makers. They were the ones that everybody appealed to when they wanted to know something. And so when people wanted to know who should be king, they often placed that person on the throne. They were experts in the heavens and the stars. They came and asked the first question of the New Testament in verse 2 of chapter 2. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? Now, the first question in the Old Testament was God to Adam and Eve, where are you? Well, where were they? They were hiding because they had sinned against God. They had done exactly the thing God told them they could not do. And sinning against God, they tried to hide from God. In the first question, we find out where we all are. Where are we? We're hiding in our sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody you have ever known or ever will know. The New Testament gives us the hope. Where is he? Now you've got to decide about Jesus. You've got to decide who is he, and you've got to decide where is he. Has there been a time when you've invited Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul? Can you say without a doubt, where is Jesus? Well, he's in my heart. You know, that's an important decision you need to make, and I hope if you have not made it, you will make that decision today, and you will invite Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sin and to save your soul. So the first question in the Bible, where are you? The first question in the New Testament, where is he? In 2:2. They say, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, some have said this star appeared at a certain time. It was a star that appeared between Saturn and Jupiter. About this time, every year it would appear. I don't think that's it. I think this is Jesus' star. I believe it was the glory of God marking the way to the Savior. I think it was a one-time star, and I believe God put it there on purpose to guide people to fulfill prophecy. God led Israel by a cloud, and now God will lead the wise men by a star. The star got their attention. Now, we know that Jews traveled to the east, but I have an idea, and it's not just my idea, but I really have latched on to this idea. We see the wise men, Magi, are in other places in the Bible. They are in the book of Daniel. You know that Israel was carried into captivity in Babylon. Babylon is to the east of Israel. And so they're carried captivity, and you got all these Jews there now that are captive in Israel, and they have an opportunity to spread God's word in Babylon. Now, I don't know how many of them actually did that and how many of them didn't, but I know one who did. Have you ever heard of Daniel? Remember Daniel? Remember Daniel in the lion's den? They threw him into the lion's den, and the lions didn't eat him. He just used the lion for a lion pillow, and he was fine the next morning because God protected him. That Daniel? Well, if you'll remember before that, There was a time that the king was bothered by a dream. And he called, who did he call? The wise men, the magi, to come and tell him what the dream meant. And they couldn't. But Daniel could. And so Daniel interpreted the dream for the king. And after he did that, the king, you'll find this in the book of Daniel, the king put Daniel over the wise men. So hundreds of years before Jesus was born, here is Daniel teaching these Gentile wise men the book of God, telling them about God's message and telling them about the Messiah that would come. And so they told their children and they told their grandchildren, and now these wise men have it. And so they, whether they got it from Daniel or not, but I believe that's how it came down. There's a good chance of that. They knew God's word. They knew that there was a star that they needed to look for. In Numbers 24:17, there shall arise a star. The star got their attention, and because they knew that the Messiah was going to come, they traveled to worship the Messiah. Jesus can get your attention. Jesus is here for you. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon. To the carpenter, he is the firm foundation. To the geologist, the rock of ages. To the physician, the great physician. And to all us sinners, he is the Savior. If men will be honest about Jesus, they will want to grow closer to him. If mankind will just understand who Jesus is, then we will want to worship him. The wise men were drawn by the heavens, and then they were bothered by a heathen. You see, the king of the Jews that was there, Herod, was troubled. Now, I think he was troubled when he found out the Magi were in town. The Magi were kingmakers, and they're in town. And he was a king, and he didn't want to give up his kingdom. And so he was curious as to why they were there. He was troubled because they were there. He probably thought they were coming for a new king. And then they asked him a question that blew his mind. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, if you're a king and you want to be king, you don't want to know that there's a new king. Herod was the king of the Jews. Yeah, but he wasn't born king of the Jews. He bought being king of the Jews. Augustus had placed him in that spot. I don't think Augustus liked him. I think he was kind of a hard guy to like. Now, I will tell you, Herod did a lot of great things. When we went to Israel, we were amazed at all the buildings Herod had done. And being a fairly good architect and builder, he built at least two major cities and named them after Caesar. And so, that drew the attention of Rome and drew some money from Rome, and so that was a good thing. Built the largest port in that part of the world. He built a magnificent palace on the top of a plateau that has cisterns, and in the middle of the desert has a way of collecting water. And actually on the top of this mountain at Masada, there is a steam room where he had his own steam room, which I guess you need in the desert. I guess it's not hot enough for him. But anyway, he did all those kind of things. But he began to lose his mind. And this man who obviously had wisdom at some time began to be very paranoid. And so he asks the question. He's troubled. He doesn't know Jesus, but he hates Jesus. In verse 3, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. When he got upset, he made sure everybody else was upset. Hey, Herod, when Herod died, he wanted people to cry. And so he instructed his military to kill a lot of the leading citizens of Jerusalem so that there would be people weeping when Herod died. You know, I'll cry for you. You don't have to kill me. It's okay. So Herod hates Jesus. And a lot of people of the world hate Jesus. The wise men are going to follow God's word. So Herod gets his people together, the chief priest, he gets his scribes. They're supposed to know the Bible. And he asks them where the Christ is to be born. And they know. How did they know? Well, God has told us. And in Micah 5:2, it's in Bethlehem. And so verse 6, he quotes Micah. And these men had their Bible facts. They knew where the Messiah would be born. But get this, they knew the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. They are told now that the star is there, and they won't travel to Bethlehem to see him. 5 miles. Now, it's a lot longer to get to Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph had come from, but from Jerusalem, 5 miles. They don't care enough about worshiping God to travel 5 miles. Look around you, folks. We got people all over Columbus, Georgia, that don't care enough about the Messiah to come and worship, and there are churches almost within every rock throw. And just in case your friends don't know, we open on Sundays, and we'd love for them to come. And if we fill this building up, we'll do it again. You know, we want people to come. In fact, we want all the churches to be full, all the churches that preach Jesus. And so people need to care enough about Jesus. If you tell me, yeah, I'm a Christian, but no, I don't do that church thing. How do you get that pass where God says, don't forsake the churching of yourselves together? God commands it. You can't follow him without it. And how do you love the Lord and never worship the Lord? And so we should urge people to come worship with us for their benefit. The wise men are following the scriptures. There's over 330 prophecies about the first coming of the Messiah. Jesus fulfilled all of them. There was an individual that, Peter Stoner, that did the mathematics on all of these things coming true in one person. And they calculated that it's one in a septillion. Now, I don't pretend to know what a septillion is, although it's described as this. That's one in 10 with 21 zeros after it. So it's not very likely. And yet, Jesus fulfilled them all. How could that ever be? Because he's God, who came and became flesh and dwelt among us. So they want the truth. Wise men seek Jesus. Herod opposes Jesus. The scribes ignore Jesus. Listen, be wise. Want the truth. Understand your heart yearns for the truth. There is a godless vacuum in the heart of men that desires Jesus, and only Jesus will fill that need. Wise men wonder at the truth. They're in awe over it. Herod asked them when he was born, when Jesus was born. And he says, hey, go find him. And when you find him, come back and I'll come and worship him too. Yeah, sure. We know what Herod had in mind, and it wasn't worship. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 11, the young child. Jesus is growing up as a child will do. In chapter 1, he is called the son of David. Jesus would have to be in the line of David. Matthew shows us he was in the line of David. Luke shows us Mary was in the line of David. Actually, they both do. And in that process, we know that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. This young child brings the joy of Christmas. He is the child of prophecy. In chapter 2, he is the son of Mary. He was virgin born. He had to get a body. You see, you don't exist until you exist. Until you are conceived, you are not. Oh, but Jesus. Jesus existed before he existed. God is spirit. Those that worship him follow him in spirit and truth. God was spirit. God had to get a body, and so there had to be a virgin birth. And so Jesus was born of Mary, and he became a child of history. In chapter 2, the son of Mary. Then later Peter will say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." This child of history and the child of eternity. Where did the child come from? Well, he came from glory. Why did Jesus come? He said, "I am come to seek and to save those that were lost." His name speaks of being the Savior. He came to be the Savior. In Matthew 1:21, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." We need a Savior. We need someone who can save us from our sins, because if we die in our sins, we will spend an eternity in hell. We need someone who can take our sin problem. Only Jesus can fill that need. And so here's the wise men. They see the star. They rejoice with exceeding great joy. For the wise men means the Savior has been born. Jesus is the reason for every season. He needs to be the reason for you in 2025 and the days that are left. He needs to be the reason for you in 2026. And if God gives you breath and God gives us time after that, he needs to be the reason for you in every year that follows. We see the wise men worship the truth. They fall down and worship him. This is why it boggles my mind that people can say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian," but they never come to worship him. If you know who he is and you know what he's done, at some time you will have to bow your knees to him. They brought him gifts. I don't know if you want these guys being your secret Santa or not. First gift, pretty good, gold. I have a friend who's a jeweler, Marvin Greer. I talked to him, a great Christian guy. He told me this week that gold is now over $4,000 an ounce. So gold was pretty good. Always been a pretty good gift. In case you want to give it, I mean, just letting you know. Frankincense. Well, that's where it gets a little strange. Frankincense, that's a scent that burns. Myrrh. Oh, embalming fluid. Gold is a gift for kings. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Frankincense is a gift for the priest. It is a gift that is supposed to raise sense to the Lord. Myrrh is a gift for the prophet, one that knows there has to be a Savior. So gold represents the royalty of Jesus, frankincense the deity of Jesus, and myrrh the humanity of Jesus. Now, there's a tradition that says these kings, ever how many there were trying to decide what will we take. And the thought came, well, the world needs a ruler. Look at the rulers we have. It's a mess. The world needs a ruler, so let's take gold. And another says, well, mostly people need God. And we need to give a gift that lets people know that we know this is God. So let's take frankincense. And then they thought for a long time, and finally one said, well, more than anything, the world needs a Savior, for we are sinners and cannot save ourselves. And a Savior will have to die for us. Let's take myrrh. And so they wrapped up their gifts and they approached the house where the child was. And Mary would sing, and we have Mary's song in the scriptures. And she was singing the song, "My soul does magnify the Lord." Lord, King. And they gave him gold. And she's saying, "My spirit shall rejoice in God." God. And they gave him frankincense. And then she said, "My soul does rejoice in God, my Savior." See, Mary knew that she was a sinner and needed a Savior, and that Jesus was it. And so she cries out to God, "My Savior." And they said, "Savior." And they gave him myrrh. Now, when the wise men had worshiped, they went home another way. I like that. God warns them in a dream, and they go home another way. You know, through the years, we at Northside Baptist Church have seen many lives transformed. We have seen people that have had their marriages in difficulty, and they get right with Jesus, and things change. And they come to God's house not expecting anything, and God touches their hearts. Or somebody comes, and they don't know Jesus as their Savior, and God touches their heart, and they realize they need Jesus, and they come to Jesus. And you know what all those people do? They go home another way. You see, when you truly give your heart to Jesus, He transforms your life. He makes a new you. Now, I know most of us would like a new body. And one day, if you're a believer, you'll get one. But you know, if you want joy and you want peace and you want forgiveness, that's the you in you that has to change. And there is only one that can give you a new you in you, and that is Jesus. He can work in you so you can go home another way. If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, my prayer for you today is that you'll come to Him. You can walk down this aisle and just say, "I want Jesus." It's very simple. We will pray together by your belief that Jesus has died for you, was buried for you, that He rose for you, by your willingness to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus. He will save your soul, and you'll get to go home another way. Believer, maybe you've kind of drifted away. Maybe you're not doing what you should do. Maybe you're not truly worshiping the King of Kings with your life. Well, today's a day to renew your heart to Jesus. Ask Him for forgiveness. You don't have to say a word to anybody. Just come and pray. Ask God to forgive. And you'll go home another way. And those other ways will bring joy. They'll bring peace. And they will bring souls to Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank You for our time together today. I pray, God, that You will help us to gain wisdom, to learn from these wise men, Father, to want the truth, Father, to be in awe of all that You have done, and Father, to worship You with all of our hearts. For those that are here that do not know Jesus, oh Lord, I pray that they would be willing to come and say, "I want Jesus." Be willing to invite Jesus into their heart, that they might be transformed, that they might be saved this day. And Father, I pray for believers that have slipped away from You, that they would put You back on the throne of their hearts, serve you, worship you with all that they are today. Guide us to decisions that we need to make. And we pray these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?